Matthew 16 and I'll begin reading at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want us to look at the church. It's when the Lord mentions this. This is the first time that the church is mentioned. The Lord introduced the church. He said, "I will build my church." And we know that there are people that have twisted this, misunderstood it. We know that Christ was not saying he is building his whole kingdom, his whole church, everything that he is and does upon Peter. It was upon what Peter said. "Thou art the Christ." Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Amen. He is the rock upon which the church is built. And again, that's, it don't take much study or much understanding to see that or to realize that, what the Lord is saying. But he talks to us about the church. And I was thinking about what it is to be a part of the church. Being a part of the church. Who is the church? And, what a blessing that we may miss sometimes that I am a part of God's church. His church. The Bible uses a word, ecclesia. And it's mentioned three times in the Gospels, and all three times it's in Matthew. And he says it once right here, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Belongs to him. It's his church. It's not another man's church. It's his church. Amen. I'll build my church. This church is built by the Lord. I will build my church. It's not man built. Not of man's hand. It is of the grace of our Lord. This building that he calls the church. My church. I will build my church. It is founded upon that rock. One rock. Christ. Upon this rock I will build my church, he says. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The promise, I'm telling you, that Christ gave to his church, that the gates of hell itself will not prevail against the church. He's never going to destroy the church. He's not going to overrun the church, not going to overtake the church. The church is never going to be in his hands. Christ said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Now, he mentions in Matthew 18 twice about this church. In just a couple pages over, you can read it. Matthew 18, verse 17. And our Lord was talking about the discipline of believers. And he's talking about, you know, you go to him and if he will not hear thee in verse 16, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Listen, that's what the church is. Witnesses. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Look at this. That's just a small portion of the church. Because then he goes on and says, and if he neglect to hear them, the witnesses, tell it to the church. The church. This body that the Lord said, I'm going to save, I'm going to build. And if somebody gets out of line, the church has to deal with it. That's what he said. Tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. No fellowship. How do you treat a heathen man and a publican? You love him. You pray for him. You pray for his soul. But you don't have no fellowship with him. Is he welcome in the church? Sure is, but he's not to be participating as a part of the church. If he doesn't hear the church. So, to think about being a part of this unified body, that God said within that, there must be discipline. Disciples. We are witnesses and we are disciples. Amen. Now it occurs in the book of Acts, that word ecclesia, more than any other book. It occurs some 62 times in the epistles of Paul. The church. The church. The church. The church. He mentions it over and over again. And when he's using that, he's using that word ecclesia, that called out assembly. A called out assembly. A called out assembly. How good that it is to just think about what that means. To be a part of a called out assembly. Amen? That God Almighty called you out. Called me out. The God of heaven. Are you listening to me? That can speak to the ends of the universe. He spoke to me. Called me out. Called me unto himself. Amen? And that's all of us, the church, that assembly. I am a part of the church. A part of the church. A part of that called out group, that assembly. Now, there's another word that I was thinking about, and it's not used as much as ecclesia. And it is Christianos. Christianos. And what that word means, it means belongs to Christ. That's pretty good. That's pretty similar, ain't it? To that called out assembly. It says something about what we are. We are the called out assembly, but we are also that which belongs to Christ. Christianos. It's only mentioned three times in the New Testament. Now, in the book of Acts, if you want to turn there, Acts chapter 11 and verse number 26 is where we're going to look around. The church, that ecclesia, I think altogether used 115 times. And it's always translated church, except in Acts 19, where he uses a word, kahal, to call, kahal, to call. And it's used 123 times. I mean, it's a part of, we're a part of the called, amen? Now listen, it was used when a council or a tribe was called to an assembly for business. The word church has the same meaning as that. But the church specific, I mean, think about the way he always mentions the church. He's the church of God, the church of the living God, the church of Christ. This is not just any assembly. Not just any regular assembly. This called out assembly belongs to God. These churches saved from what they're saved from. The churches of the Gentiles. That says a lot about who those called out people are. They were called out of the mud. Amen. Called out of sin. Called out of that life that, you know, God had dealt with the Hebrews, specifically the Hebrews. And when in Acts chapter 11, we'll get to there in just a minute, Acts chapter 11 explains that they were called Christians first at Antioch. Christians first at Antioch. Now, before I get into that, Acts 26, verse 28. I don't know why I said Acts 16 a while ago. I was thinking about something else. Acts 28, Agrippa. If you want to study how Paul talked with him, he was introducing Christ to him. In Acts 26 and 28. Let me just turn there real quick. If you back up, Paul the Apostle, he begins to talk about his conversion down around verse number 13 of Acts 26. And then he gets up in verse 19, he says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." He said, "I had a heavenly vision. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance." He's telling him how a Christian's made, how a Christian's born, how a person comes to God in his day. And he said, "For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day," he said. And he said, "saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." He said, "I'm just telling this. I ain't saying anything different than the Old Testament said. And what Moses said, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, that he should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." And he said, "And he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad. That means crazy. He wasn't talking about angry. He's talking about crazy, beside himself. And he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. That's what the church does. We speak forth the words of truth and soberness. He said, for the king knoweth of these things. Listen how Paul talks to him. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. Now, Agrippa's listening to all this, and Paul, he's saying, you think King Agrippa doesn't know about this message? About this Jesus? About what happened down there in Jerusalem? This thing wasn't done in a corner. He said this wasn't hid from him. And this is what he said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Paul turns to him. King Agrippa, dost thou believe the prophets? And then Paul answers, I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Christianos, you almost persuade me to belong to Christ. Look at what he had right in front of him. A Christianos, one that did belong to Christ. And he was doing his best to persuade Agrippa. He was telling a sinner man, listen, that was a king at that time, I know you believe the prophets. I know you believe in what God has put in his book. I know you do. There are a lot of sinners out here, listen, that they say they do. But they just need to be persuaded to belong to Christ. Amen? Because just believing, oh yeah, I believe that Jesus came and died, that's not enough. That's not what makes you part of the church. Amen? You got to be called out, of course. That's what he said. That's what the church is called out. Drawn, but to belong to Christ. Now that says a whole lot to people that say they're saved and their life is still their own. My life ain't my own anymore. Your life ain't your own. If you're a Christian, amen, a true Christian. And that's what they, listen, they were. We know this, they were mocking them in Acts chapter number 11. They begin to say that, you know, these are Christians. Those Christians. But they were called Christians first at Antioch. First in Antioch. In other words, it identified this body as not just another Jewish sect. If it had been done in Jerusalem, they'd have said, oh, now we've got another, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Christians. But this was done in Syria. What is Turkey now? That's where they were called Christians first. Completely detached from Judaism. Are you listening? From the Hebrews. Completely. Something different. A people that belonged to Christ. Amen? Think about how wonderful that is. Peter talked about that group one time in 1 Peter 4:16. He talked about if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed of being a Christian. Amen. In Acts chapter number 11, I just looked just a few minutes. I was thinking about, what made that? What made them Christians? What was it that made people say, these are Christianos, those that belong to Christ? Well, Peter, he had a vision. God convinced Peter what those that belonged to Christ weren't just Hebrew. See, because in their day, that's what they were preaching. You know, this was a Hebrew thing. You know, we still keep the law, but God had Peter to have a vision. He had a vision of a sheet let down from heaven in Acts 11. And it had all manner of meat on it, animals, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And he heard a voice saying unto him, "Arise, Peter, slay and eat." But I said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth." Isn't that the way Peter was? When the Lord was, you know, they're washing their feet. "Not so, Lord. You're not going to wash my feet." Religious. He said, I said, "No, not so, Lord. For nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth." But the voice answered again from heaven, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." Don't you call what I've cleaned common. That's what the church is, a clean group of people. Cleaned from their sins. Peter had to see that God was trying to show him these things of the Old Testament that I said at one time were unclean bird, unclean meat for the Hebrews. Now here he's likening that unto the Gentile. And he said, "If I said I've cleaned it, it's clean." And the Spirit bade Peter to go. And he came to a man's house, Cornelius. And that Cornelius, he said in verse 13, he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, "Send to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname's Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." Being a part of the church, a man whom, if Peter had before done what he thought, this man would have never heard, would have never had the opportunity. And he said, "As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost.' For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? The gates of hell shall not prevail against us." Who is I that I should withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." That's Christian. Somebody who God has granted repentance unto life. Wonder why he didn't say faith unto life. Here he said repentance unto life. Faith is already there. If true repentance comes, faith is there. Why would a man repent if he didn't believe? Amen? I repented when I really believed. Faith is there. But not all the time is repentance there when faith is there. Even the devils believe and tremble. They believe, but they can't repent. Won't repent. And at this place, in verse 22, tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church. There's that word, ecclesia, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. That's the. This is the believers, the Christianos, the church. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. There it is again. And taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. There was a lot of things going on there in Antioch that made them to be identified as Christianos. They had not used that. It was the church. It was an assembled group of people. But now they are Christians. They're a Christian church. They belong to the Lord. They had given themselves wholly to the Lord. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. They're leaving Jerusalem and going up there where God is, where the Christians are, where people's on fire, giving their heart and life to the Lord. People getting full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Full of faith. People that had purpose of heart. Amen. They sent out the first missionaries. We know that. That church, Gentile church at Antioch. Many things that happened in Antioch is why they were called Christians first. You study around Paul going there. Peter's message before God revealing to him what was going to happen. And then what happened at Antioch and why they were called Christians. And I love that. They're being testified against and having to stand for his testimony, Paul told Agrippa. What he'd been telling everybody else. He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's what people need to be persuaded to. To belong to Christ. To belong to Christ. As a pastor, it seems like I spend a lot of time trying to get the church to be a Christian. Called out assembly. Saved to give their hearts to the Lord. Amen. I mean, to really say, I belong to Him. Not my own. To see that. If you could see that. I am not my own anymore. I am bought with a price. I belong to Him. That's liberating, and at the same time, it puts service into you. And obedience, doesn't it? If you know who you belong to, and that you're not your own, thank God. Thank God for calling us out. Amen. I know this may have just been a small thought this evening, but that's what I felt like the Lord wanted me to share. Be a Christian. If you're saved, church, God called you out. You know God's called you out. You belong to Him. What's amazing to me is the time that passed by before anybody started saying that about them. These people belong to the Lord right here. Maybe because at first they thought they was just another sect, another religious sect. We have a lot of that today. Just another religious sect. I don't want to be a part of a religious sect. I want my life to reflect that I truly belong to Him. Amen. All right, I want you to stand. I'm done.